It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, welcome to another edition of the Satellite Guys podcast. I'd like to first apologize about no podcast last week. I got the flu shot, and it gave me the flu, so I've been down and out for the past week, but I'm upright tonight and feeling good. And also rejoining us for the podcast is Goalie Bob. Goalie Bob, how you been?
Oh, I've been great. You know, Scott, we forgive you. It's all right. We had some great comedy going on in the meantime while I was gone away with my wife, who we gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, 9 pounds, 2 ounces, 20 inches long.
Yes, and Bob is the one who gave birth, not his wife.
Yeah, is yes. That
he's been working on that. Wednesday, his daughter came, and he sent us over pictures just as soon as she was born, and it's a beautiful baby, and I hear she's doing well.
Yeah, she's doing extremely well, and she's definitely a satellite gal, and she's born into the world at the right time, and we'll definitely see as hopefully some new high definition will launch for her.
Yeah, well, last week, the week ending this today, actually, was a really, not really newsworthy, but there was a lot of news at the same time, so let's hop right into it.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, we started Monday with the earnings call, the Dish Network earnings call, and once again, I wanted to reach through the phone line as I was listening to Charlie, give his account of why Dish Network was sucking eggs, and this time he blamed it on piracy, and that's not the reason why Dish Network is losing customers at all. This guy is the CEO of the company, and he has no grasp whatsoever on what's going on in his company. And it's actually starting to scare me a bit.
Yeah, I understand why you're afraid, Scott. You know, they've been doing some great marketing with Frank and also with this Turbo HD. But beyond that, the company seems to be operating without a head on the horse.
Right. Earlier this week, on Monday, when Charlie, announced that piracy was the main issue, that people were dropping Dish Network and they were going out and spending money on these pirated boxes, I decided to do some perusing of the hacker sites. And believe me, after I was done with those sites, I needed to have a good shower. But going through those sites, I noticed one big thing. The hackers don't feel like hacking no more. I guess Dish has been doing some measures and countermaneuvers and changing some scrambling technologies, and they're moving over to another generation of scrambling. And, they can watch TV for a couple hours a day before they have to reprogram everything all over again. And for many of the pirates, they don't want to do it anymore. It's not worth it. Before, they could sit there and watch TV for months on end without having to touch their pirated boxes, receivers, what have you. But now, every couple hours, they need to reprogram everything just so they can watch TV. And for many of them, they said they had enough. They'd rather go legit than keep programming things over and over and over again. So piracy as an issue for people dropping Dish Network is just a bullshit excuse from Charlie Ergen that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and this has been going on for a few months now. A lot of the real free-to-air guys have been noticing on eBay a lot of great deals because these boxes that the hackers are using are now becoming available because people don't want to do it anymore. So there's been a lot of great deals that people have been going scooping up these boxes so that way they can use it for real free-to-air, which is not hacking and which is legal.
Yeah, which is legal, and I've been laying in bed this week, and the medicine the doctors had me on had me going in and out of sleep here. So what I wasn't doing all week, because I haven't played with my free-to-air setup for a couple months now, is I actually plugged in my free-to-air box and hooked up to the TV right next to the bed, and I was doing blind scanning of all the satellites across the arc all week, and it takes time to do that. So, by the time I woke up again, it was finally finished blind scanning each satellite. And I found a lot of great programming out there. WhiteSpring TV shows a lot of great classics. And then you've got all the RTN feeds on the eastern part of the arc that are just amazing. All the old-time TV shows. I saw Emergency. I saw Kojak. I saw Cheers. All the TV shows you used to love. I saw I Love Lucy. I saw Beverly Hillbillies. All those types of shows that you really can't even find on TV anymore because even TV Land doesn't carry them anymore are out there for you to view, and it was, you know, nice to be able to sit down and watch these shows you grew up with as a kid.
Yeah, one of my favorites that I'm used to watching from the Middle East was Al Jazeera English, which is available on one of the ethnic satellites, and you can sit there and watch a different perspective of news from the Middle East.
Yeah, because one of the things you notice, and I'm not trying to say that we're trying to feed propaganda to ourselves, but we're feeding propaganda to ourselves. There's always two sides to every story, and no matter what war you're fighting, there's always an enemy and there's always a good guy. And for us, we're always the good guy, and the enemy's always the enemy. But for them, they feel they're in the right, and we're the bad guys. So it's really interesting to see things from both perspectives, and being able to deduct things in your own head to find out what is real and what is not real. And free-to-air television gives you that opportunity, and it's really amazing to see everything unfiltered.
Yeah, Scott. Well, there wasn't a... Well, Dish Network was spewing a lot of BS, but that wasn't all they were spewing. There was actually quite a few good things that came out, like the 722K and the DTV PAL DVR announced.
Right, that was on the Tech Chat, which also happened on Monday night. So we went from a bad chat with Charlie in the morning with the EchoStar and Dish Network earnings calls into a very, very good Tech Chat, which aired with Dan Minnick and Mark Jackson. And this was an interesting chat because I was notified about the agenda before the chat, and I was told that it was going to be geared towards Satellite Guys members. And they weren't lying. They gave us a really, really good... In fact, I think it's the best Tech Chat that I can honestly remember as far as technical information. They took us to the Uplink Center in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and they showed us around there and showed us how it all worked. Me, personally, I'd love to see an hour show on how that all goes together, but I understand the time constraints there. But they showed us how it all worked, the dishes they use, the special dishes they have that have heaters in them, so that way snow never builds up on them. The big dish that picks up 27 satellites, I believe, at one time. It's just amazing to see all that.
Yeah, it is. And really, when you see all the technology that's behind it, you're like, wow, this is a little more than rocket science.
Yeah, when they showed you the wiring that they had there, and they figured that all the wiring they just used at the Cheyenne, Wyoming Uplink Center could circle the Earth, I believe they said 23 times, that is a lot of wire.
And that's just one uplink center. They got Gilbert, Arizona, and plus all the other regional little uplinks like Monee, Illinois, that you really kind of don't know about that sit there and tie everything together.
Right, and people look at the uplink reports and they're always complaining about the uplink reports about how come they didn't do this or this new channel is launching and how come Dish doesn't carry it yet. There's a lot more than just plugging in a satellite receiver somewhere and then saying, boom, it's uplinked. There's a lot of wiring. There's a lot of routing that needs to go on there. It needs to go through scrambling to encode it. It needs to go through compression. There's a lot of work to get that signal from Dish Network's uplink center to your house. And it's not something that they can just push three buttons and have it magically appear on your screen. It does not happen that way.
As much as we all wish it would, it's just not reality. And it really does give you a sense of how everything works and it gives you a sense of exactly a little more appreciation for how they bring those channels to you at home.
Right, and as you mentioned earlier, another great thing about that Tech Chat was they announced the new 722K, which Satellite Guys first told you about back in May. Other people, other sites, other satellite forums keep on saying, oh, that's just a rumor, it's not real, don't believe anything they say until you see it yourself. Well, guess what, folks? The 722K is real, okay? We've seen it on a Tech Chat. It's just like a regular 722. It's got a new box. The looks of it are a little different. It's in a nice, sleek black case. And also different on it is it has a over-the-air tuner module, which can actually tune to two separate over-the-air feeds at one time. And the module is optional. So if you don't need over-the-air, since Dish Network has your locals in HD, you don't need to get the over-the-air tuner module. But if you want it, it's only, I believe, $30 difference to get this module.
Right, and the pricing point on that is actually really good, because for me in Chicago, where I do record a lot of the over-the-air, it's really a good pricing point that I'd be willing to spend $30 for that module.
Right, and the module allows you to watch live over-the-air television on both TVs. So if you have TV 1 set up and TV 2 set up, right now on a regular 722, TV2 cannot watch over-the-air television at all. The only way they can watch it is if it's recorded on the hard drive of the 722. With the 722K, you'll be able to watch and tune to live television channels, and I'm hearing that you can record up to 4 streams at one time. That means 2 over-the-air channels and 2 satellite channels. That's some amazing stuff there. So you can record 4 programs at one time on a Dish Network DVR, and it's coming in December.
Yeah, and speaking of amazing stuff, I can't wait for the DTV PAL DVR to come out. So that way, my parents who don't subscribe to satellite, they just get over-the-air only, they can now finally DVR their shows without having a satellite subscription.
That's correct. The DTV PAL DVR, we've been calling it the TR50 up until a couple weeks ago. The TR50 was shown last year at the Consumer Electronics Show, and it won the best product at the Consumer Electronics Show by CNET Magazine and a bunch of other places, including ourselves here at Satellite Guys. And it's a really, really neat box. One thing to remember about the DTV PAL DVR is it's not just a converter which can take a high definition or digital television off air signal and down convert it to so that your old standard definition TVs can watch those signals. It also outputs in full high definition and has HDMI outputs on it. So don't think of it as a off air converter. It can do it, but it's much, much more than that. So if you have a lot of shows that you want to record, and if maybe like the 722K is not enough for all your recording needs, go out and get one of these DTV PAL DVRs. Plug it in, and then you have the options there to record more shows off the air with a menu interface that you're totally used to in full high definition. It's just an amazing, amazing box.
Yeah, this will definitely be a great Christmas gift for maybe for your dad or something who needs a extra converter box / DVR in the den where you don't typically have cable TV or something like that.
Right, and no monthly fees. There's no, you buy the box and it's yours, and you do stuff with it. And I'm hearing that they're going to be doing some interesting stuff with it in the future, where it has an Ethernet jack built into it. So you may be able to plug in that Ethernet jack, and while you're not a Dish Network subscriber, you may be able to access some of Dish Network's pay-per-view services, Dish Online. And who knows, we're going to be seeing it next week from the Xbox 360, where you can watch movies from Netflix downloaded right to your receiver. That may be possible on the DTV PAL. That's just an amazing thing. It gives you all kinds of entertainment without even having to have a satellite dish.
Hey, Scott, might I say the Sling Beta portal may be a part of that?
Yeah, it may be, and the Sling Beta is an amazing place, and a couple weeks ago we had Brian Jaquette on from Sling Media, and he gave us some insight of it, so I will admit I'm a beta tester, and Bob is also a beta tester, but the big thing for me, I love being able to watch a lot of the old-time TV shows, which they have available full episodes in this Sling.com site. And the other thing I really, really love is you can watch your Sling boxes on any internet-connected computer without having to download any special Sling software just by going to Sling.com.
Now, that'd be cool if they could tie that into that DTV PAL DVR through the Ethernet, so that way you can pull up some of the content from that site through that DVR using the Ethernet port. But that's just me thinking.
It may be possible. I don't know anything about that, but that is going to be possible with another receiver, and this is a rumored box, according to the other satellite sites. So we'll be seeing it at CES, and that is the new 922 receiver. We've been talking about it since May. We've been calling it the 722S. It's being rebranded as the 922 because it's so far beyond what we know from a 722, entirely new user interface. The interface fully takes advantage of a 16:9 screen in full HD, where it gives you graphics on a screen, and much improved menus and guides. Just really, really nice. It builds in a Sling box, a high definition Sling box nonetheless. So if you the Sling Pro HD is basically built into the 922. Also, the 922 has in a built-in Sling catcher. So you've got $500 worth of Sling products built into the new 922. It's an amazing, amazing device, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it at CES.
Yep, I'm looking forward to seeing it too. But, Scott, I was driving my wife to the hospital last week, and I noticed that my XM radio now receives some serious channels.
Yes, it does. They've made a big lineup change this past Wednesday, and a lot of people are happy about the changes, and a lot of people are unhappy about it. And each one's got a right to bitch and moan or be happy. What they essentially did was took most of the music channels from Sirius and XM, and they cherry-picked the best ones, and a lot of the good stations went away. Other stations that you really loved merged together with similar stations from XM or Sirius. And, you know, like the 80s on 8 now, you know, XM didn't really have no name jocks on there. They had some, a couple disc jockeys on there, but they weren't really big names, while Sirius had all the MTV VJs. And now in the mornings, it's the XM DJ. And then in the afternoons and nights, it's all the MTV folks. So they merged things together there. And a lot of people aren't happy about it because they feel that the Sirius music playlist is a lot smaller than the XM playlist. They feel that Sirius only plays the top hits, while XM went deeper and played a lot of the lost hits and things that didn't rank as high in the charts. So for me, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed. I'm kind of aggravated that the Cinemagic channel has gone away, at least temporarily. It's been replaced by Holly, which is a Christmas music channel, which I think it's way too early for a dedicated Christmas music channel. I would have preferred them to wait until at least Thanksgiving before giving us, you know, a dedicated Christmas music channel. And they got rid of Cinemagic, which really aggravated a lot of people, including myself. But I do like some of the merges they've done to the channels. You know, the 70s channel, the 80s channel, and even the 90s channel now has personalities on it, and it's really good to hear. Personally, I like having DJs on my channels. Other people don't want to hear DJs, but I'm paying for a radio service, and radio has DJs. If I just want to listen to all music with no talk, I'd listen to my iPod. So I'm kind of mixed. I like some of the changes, but at the same time, I don't like some of the changes. And basically now, except for a few channels, the channel music channel lineups for both Sirius and XM are the same.
Yeah, Scott, I'm one of those. I actually like the changes because now I can listen to Sirius Octane on DirecTV. And I was doing a little comparison between Dish Network and DirecTV, and I thought the audio quality was actually better on Dish or on DirecTV than what it was on Dish Network.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think they're feeding all the audio right now for the new channels from XM in Washington. They're not coming from Sirius in New York. And that may be the reason for that. Because before, the audio for the Sirius channels going to Dish Network was coming directly through New York. And now I believe that the programming is actually being programmed out of Washington, D.C. And may be the cause of some of that stuff there. One other thing I want to talk about on the Sirius XM changes is, you know, on the last podcast, we had comedian Jim Brewer on the Satellite Guys podcast, and Jim Brewer's from Saturday Night Live, and he also has his own show on Sirius Satellite Radio on the Raw Dog Comedy Channel. And when they made these changes on the XM site, it showed Raw Dog Comedy, and it showed Jim Brewer's picture on there and said, listen to Jim Brewer between, I think it's 4 and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Raw Dog Comedy. And so I went and tuned in to Raw Dog Comedy after they made these changes, and there's no Jim Brewer. And I went over to my Sirius Satellite Radio and turned on the same Raw Dog channel that was airing the same exact programming before Jim Brewer came on, and Jim Brewer was there. For some reason, he's not on the XM side, but he is on the Sirius side, and it really doesn't make any sense why they're segregating that one particular channel. People can't listen to the Jim Brewer program on XM radio yet, even though Raw Dog is on both services. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird, because we're big Jim Brewer fans here. And by the way, thank you for coming on, Jim. And, you know, that wasn't the only surprise coming down the line. And the other surprise actually came from DirecTV with DMX.
Yeah, we were notified by DirecTV a couple days before the channel lineups changed, and it's kind of funny. Both Sirius and XM never notified the public of these changes until they actually changed the channels, which I think is kind of bogus. For a big company like that, they should have notified people that these changes were coming. But DirecTV did notify us here at Satellite Guys that these changes were coming down the line and actually gave us a list of the changes that were coming. And they also mentioned that they would have some new audio coming soon but not from XM. And you know, we were really wondering what was going on. And some of the rumors I was hearing was it was the Urge music service. Now, Urge is programmed by the folks at MTV, and is available on AT&T's UVerse service. And I had UVerse, and the Urge channel, the music channels were actually pretty bad. So I was kind of disappointed to hear that they were going to be the Urge music channels through the rumors. And I was very happy when I saw that these changes were actually going to be the DMX music service instead. DMX is Digital Music Express. You probably know it from cable companies in the late 80s, 90s. They used to have this box that they stick in your house, a Digital Music Express box, and they gave you this remote control, which was really unique because you pressed a button on the remote control, and it would show you right in the remote control on a little three-line display there the artist, the title, and the album name of the song you were listening to on your DMX, because they didn't have any DJs. They still don't have any DJs. But it was really technology ahead of its time, and the audio, the music channels themselves were really programmed very well and had a lot of selection. It wasn't just your greatest hits, but it went back into some of the deeper cuts that you haven't heard in a long, long time. So when I saw at midnight on Tuesday night / Wednesday morning when the XM changes went to effect that DMX was coming, I actually got kind of excited, and I am kind of excited that to see what changes are coming down the line. And I am hearing that we could see some of these DMX channels lighting up on DirecTV as soon as this Wednesday.
Yeah, I remember DMX from the good old Primestar days. Those were the good old days. And I'm really hoping that this is a supplement to XM and that they don't get rid of XM or Sirius and they have both services, because I truly do love both services, and that would be a great deal for DirecTV subscribers.
Right. I don't think that DirecTV is going to get rid of the XM service, because they would have dropped it at the same time and just went all DMX. They do realize there's a big audience for XM, and you know, the one I'm worried about is actually Dish Network and Charlie Ergen, because Charlie Ergen likes to drop programming when they change formats. They say it's not the same program they signed up for, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, basically the music channels right now on Dish Network and DirecTV from XM Sirius are basically the same, since the programming on the music channels is all the same now. So if I was to be worried about any one satellite company dropping the music channels and replacing them with something else, would be on Dish Network. But I haven't heard any rumors of that. It would just wouldn't surprise me to see Charlie do something like that, because that's the way Charlie likes to play sometimes.
Yeah, if that happens, that would be, they would be doing a great disservice to the customers, because of the fact that XM and Sirius is so popular. Yeah, granted, people liked one service or the other, but they still provide a great music service, by far better than anybody out there.
Right, and it is. Great things, you know. People were kind of upset because on the 50s on 5 the other night they had the Cousin Brucey show. And Cousin Brucey's a legend here in the Northeast and in New York City area especially. He's been a long-time DJ, you know, from the 60s, you know, at WABC, WCBS. He's worked at a ton of stations over there. And he was actually the voice of the DJ in the movie Dirty Dancing. And he's got quite a following. He's been around for eons, and he has a lot of fans. He's also a huge fan of satellite radio. So when they made these changes this week, and when his first program aired on both XM and Sirius on the 50s on 5, he basically rambled the entire show about how great it was to be on both services and didn't really give his normal Cousin Brucey type show. And a lot of people were upset about that, saying, well, this is garbage. I listened to a guy talk for 3 hours and he played, you know, X number of songs and the rest of it was all talk. That is not your normal Cousin Brucey show. A lot of the DJs are being thrown into different positions than what they had before. And a lot of them are actually excited to be available on both satellite services. So give us some time, listen to it, and I think you're going to like the changes.
Yeah, that's the same thing with the merger. They're just starting to make those changes, and just give it a little time. And hopefully both the XM Sirius can go ahead and get their act together. And also at the same time, they can give us great programming and also raise that stock price that's been going down the tubes lately.
Yeah, last time I saw it the other day was down to a quarter. And that's no good. And part of me has me shaking my head, I'll be honest, about these changes they made. Because for me, I've canceled three of my Sirius satellite radios because I don't need them anymore. And my cars and trucks and home and my office, I've had both services now for a long time. And really, everything I listen to now is available to me on XM. I can listen to Howard Stern. I can listen to NASCAR radio. I can listen to Major League Baseball. I can listen to NFL. I can listen to NHL. I can listen to NBA. Everything I want to listen to is now available on XM with the Best of Sirius package, which is an additional $4 a month add-on. But I don't need to subscribe to the Sirius Satellite Music Service anymore because it's just all duplicated programming I'm getting on XM. So the merger of the two things together may backfire on both companies because now there's nothing really differentiating the two. And I know a lot of Sirius customers have canceled their service because now they can get everything on XM. So people who had four subscriptions between both services now only have two subscriptions. So I don't know if that made a lot of sense for them to do at this time, but I can understand why they did it with the cost of the talent they had. They had to make some decisions and cut some corners somewhere.
Right. Yeah, and it's only time will tell, but, you know, speaking of time, we forgot about to talk about that good old 211 now being a DVR.
Yeah, they mentioned that on the tech chat, and, they said it was coming this week. And P. Smith, Captain Sirius from Satellite Guys, P. Smith got on and probably is the first person to get the software update on his 211, and he posted some screenshots of it. And just today, and recording this on Sunday, so it was kind of weird to get an email from Dish on Sunday, but I have it confirmed that if you pay the one-time activation fee on the 211, and this goes for as many 211s as you have, you pay one activation fee, and if you connect the external hard drive to them, all those 211s turn into DVRs. And the interesting part of there is no monthly DVR fees on those receivers. It's a one-time fee for all the 211s that you have, and you can turn them all into DVRs, and there's no monthly DVR fee. And to me, that's kind of surprising from Dish Network, who's been known to nickel and dime people to get them to pay DVR fees each month.
You know what I see now? I see a bunch of Satellite Guys going to dishstore.net to buy a bunch of 211s so that way they can now archive without having that monthly fee.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see them doing that. And personally, I'd love to see Charlie get rid of the DVR fees. You know, a lot of people are paying them per month. You know, with the 501s was the last free DVRs that didn't have no monthly DVR fee service on it. But the 622s, 722s, all the different models that have come out since the 50X series have monthly DVR fees. And maybe it's time to see that go away and use that as an advantage of why Dish Network is better. And I'm going to speak from the heart here. I love Dish Network's DVRs. They are the best thing out there. I own DirecTV equipment, and it's just not the same. It doesn't run right. It's slow. The interfaces are out of date, and we're trying to improve things with the CE program we got at Satellite Guys, but they're still not where they should be yet. And the Dish Network DVRs are great. If DirecTV had the same quality equipment, I would drop Dish Network in a heartbeat. Because I know when I wake up tomorrow morning, all my TV shows that I love and all the channels that I love will still be on DirecTV tomorrow. While on the Dish Network side, I can't say the same thing because Charlie just loves flipping switches. And if he has a beef with somebody or somebody has a beef with them, look for those channels to disappear without any warning. And it just aggravates me that a major company like this operates the way they do. And again, if DirecTV had the quality DVRs that Dish Network produces, it would be game over for Dish Network.
Yeah, I totally agree, Scott, but hey, that's the music.
Sorry to go on a rant there, but it's just one of those things that aggravates me.
No, I agree with you, Scott, and it needs to be done.
All right, well, we'll see you on next week's podcast, and hope your daughter doesn't keep you up all night there, Bob.
Yeah, that's been kind of crazy, but hey, that's part of the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, look forward to no sleep for the next 3 to 6 months, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. 407-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.